Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. It's an absolutely gorgeous day out here in New York City. Not too many of them have been happening, but this one is. Great temperature, nice to go out in, but I'm inside doing the show. And after the show, I'm going to escape and get out to my, at least get onto my porch, if not, you know. But we have a good show. Are you ready for Reading? Well, it's Reading, Pennsylvania, and people will think of that name if they play Monopoly, Reading Railroad. Yes, it's one of the places on the Monopoly map there. But I didn't get to go to the Railroad Museum. I did go to some other places. And so actually we're going to Homewood Suites, because we've got to stay over someplace, where we'll talk with Jim Seek. And then we're going to go to a place called Google Works, Goggle Works. I wrote Google Works. I wrote Google Works on one and Goggle Works on the other. Okay, it's Goggle Works. And then we're going to go to a restaurant called Judy's on Cherry. And I also was able to... That's what happens when I started with one rubber chicken and now there's six. Oh, goodness. Anyway, they want to get their 2 cents in, because some of them went to Reading and did it their own trip. They weren't with me. They went to Reading on their own. But anyway, so we're going to have... okay, so let's start. We're talking about the Homewood Suites. So, Jim, you there?
I am here, Merle.
Yeah.
And I also have my director of sales, Wendy Fuller, with me.
Oh, that's okay. She's allowed to.
Hi, Merle.
Hi. So did you see the rubber chickens picture?
We did. I have them posted in my office for everybody to see.
Isn't that cute?
It is cute. It looked like they had a good time.
Oh, yeah, they did. They had an absolutely fabulous time. They told me so when they got home.
Well, I could tell.
So I want to, let's talk about the place. First, I want to talk about one of the things that I want to, that I'm pointing out, is about going to a hotel for people that have disabilities. And I'm not totally clear when they say, when they list things of having like roll and shower, that once you get in there, there's a place to sit down. So I noticed that you do have that.
We have a place to sit down.
So is that before we go into the whole thing about the suite, what you have, so is that something required of hotels, or what is the situation? Or the hotels just opt for doing this?
Well, no, that is something that's required in Hilton hotels. I can't speak for other brands, but Hilton hotels, we're required to have ADA accessible rooms, and part of the roll-in shower is the built-in seat.
Okay, so this way I know that I can count on Hilton hotels for that. Because I was doing something, I was Googling something regarding a Marriott, and the Marriott said that they didn't have that kind of thing, and I thought to myself, how can you not? It's Marriott. I mean, come on, you know. But I guess they all decide what they can have, you know.
Yeah.
So all the Hilton hotels.
Well, you can count on Hilton.
So whether they're suites or rooms of the Hilton hotels, whether the rooms or suites, they're required to have it? I mean, because
well,
it's Hilton?
Yeah, not every room will have it, but if it's an ADA accessible roll-in shower room, there will be a seat, yes.
Okay, that's good. You know, this way I could always say, excuse me, save a seat for me, please, huh?
Yep, you could, Merle.
Okay, so let's talk about the hotel itself, you know, because you're not going in there, you know, just to go and take a shower, you know. So tell me, talk about the hotel itself.
Well, we are 119 all-suite property. All our rooms consist of a small apartment-style suite. Every suite in the building has a small kitchenette in it with a two-burner cooktop stove, microwave oven, dishwasher, garbage disposal, full-size refrigerator, and a place setting for four. The first room when you enter the suite is your kitchen and living room combination. Living room portion has a pull-out sofa sleeper, flat-screen TV, DVD player, and then the bedroom is actually in a separate room separated by a set of doors. So every room in the building here is a suite. And we are newly renovated. Our rooms have just all been completely renovated. Whole building, top to bottom, inside and out, has been redone. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at our outdoor kitchen area, but it's absolutely amazing.
No, I guess not. Where was that? Oh,
that
okay.
That is out behind the swimming pool.
Oh, I was going to say, I never went out. We didn't go out to the swimming pool. So that's probably why I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
Our outdoor kitchen area has two gas grills, a bar height countertop with a granite top on, and upscale seating for all our guests to use that area. They could go out, they could grill, they could socialize. It's underneath the pergola. It's a beautiful area.
Can people bring their own booze out there too?
Yes, they can.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of curious. If people want to, you know.
I think
so.
I
in other words,
Robert,
it gives people the opportunity.
With a bottle of wine.
I'm sorry?
I think I seen the chickens out there with a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you got to watch out. See, Marilyn is a kleptomaniac, so.
Oh, no.
it's really bad, but it's okay because that's why Minerva goes with her, to make sure she doesn't
steal. Keep an eye on
her. Yeah, keep an eye on her. Yeah, I know. But that's really, really great because let's say that you're there and you have some people visiting you and you don't have to just, you know, you don't have to hang indoors if the weather's nice.
To
take advantage of that. And by the way, like with all the whole area, the shopping, it's shop till you drop area, isn't it?
It is shop till you drop area. Yes, we are located right next to a shopping center that's within walking distance of the hotel, and there is also shopping spread out throughout the whole area here, everything from outlet shopping to antiques and anything in between. And we are also in close proximity to a large Cabela's, which, you know, if you know anything about Cabela's and sporting goods, there only are, I believe, 6 or 7 Cabela's throughout the country, and we have a large one right up the road from us.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't interested in shopping, I guess. And you're in the town of Wyomissing, right?
Wyomissing, that's correct.
Right. It's easy to remember. You think of why you're missing it.
Why you're missing it. Yep.
Yeah. which is, and just to let people know, so you, well, from what I got, you know, it looks like we weren't like more than half an hour from any place we had to get to.
No, you're not. We're
and
a
not
very
just,
centralized
not just downtown
location.
Reading either.
Yep. Yep. It's very easy access to any parts that you're looking to get to from here.
Do people tend to get a suite where they have, let's say, it's a couple and 2 kids or maybe 2 couples because they want to say, you know, I want to, hey, let's you know, have a place to hang out for a couple of days. This way we can, you know, do our own cooking and, you know, whatever, see places, and we don't have to spend on the restaurants, let's say.
They do. At Merle, we actually have some 2-bedroom suites here, which are larger than the suite that you stayed in. They would actually have a kitchen, a dining room, 1 king bedroom with its own private bathroom, and then another bedroom with 2 queen beds in and its own private bathroom.
Wow.
It's ideal for a family or for a group traveling together. Sometimes we'll get groups of women who come in to do some shopping, as you know, like you said, shop till you drop, and they'll take a 2-bedroom suite, and, you know, they're separate bedrooms and lots of room to move around and relax and make yourself at home.
You know, I don't know if they're doing it now. I remember tourism had been pushing something they call a girlfriend's getaway. Did you know about that?
I heard a girlfriend's getaway. Yes, a lot of girlfriends come to the Reading area for girlfriend's getaway. We also get a lot of people coming to the area. You know, Berks County is known for its outdoors here. We have a lot of hiking trails. We have a lot of biking trails. There's a lot of fishing spots. There's a lot of outdoor activities to do here in Berks County, and we get a lot of that travel also. So besides shopping, there's lots of other things to do besides shop here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just like right near you that there's all the shopping as opposed to, but I don't, unless somebody's planning to shop till you drop and that's all they want to do, I'm sure they're going to take advantage of being close enough to going into downtown Reading to go to all the you know, the places like Goggle Works and you know, the theater and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's certainly a lot of activity.
And we have some fine restaurants in the area also. If you don't want to do your own cooking. Yep. Now, if you're staying here, included in your room rate, we also give you a complimentary sweet start breakfast every morning.
Right.
I hope you had a chance to enjoy the breakfast.
Yes.
I know the chicken did.
Yeah, I know.
And we also have a complimentary evening social Monday through Thursday evening from 5 until 7 p.m. where we offer some healthy, light fare dinner options. And we also have beer and wine at the evening social.
Was it just that particular night that you were doing a 10-cent beer thing, or
we do that every Monday through Thursday evening?
That you do a 10-cent beer.
10-cent beer from 5 until 7 p.m.
Oh, that's really cool. So, I mean, in a way, like if you don't I mean, if you choose to, you could do it every night that you're there. Or if you don't, you know,
yeah.
or let's say, oh, I don't really, like, I want to hang here. I want to do this. I don't really feel like dealing with the reservations for a restaurant and this and that, you know, or I don't feel like cooking. Let's just have a nosh, so to speak. You know,
yep,
so,
yep.
Which
you're
could turn
more,
out to be a full dinner.
It can. And lots of our guests choose that option. And, you know, they come in from either a hard day at work or a hard day of shopping or sightseeing, and they'll just hang out and relax with us.
Well, in reality, like if you're there during the week, you know, from Monday to Thursday, you can just, you know, you can just make sure you have you can eat a full breakfast, full dinner, that's included, and
yep.
when you're out there, you eat lunch someplace else.
Yep, that's right.
That's really cool. I mean, you're not going to get the service. You got to, you know, it's fetch it yourself food.
It's fetch it yourself.
No one's serving you, guys. Just, you know. You're on your own. Pick it up. They got it. It's there, right there for you. Plenty of places to
yep.
sit. You can even bring it outdoors if you want.
Yeah, you can even take it outdoors.
Do any people take it up to their rooms?
Oh, yeah. Lots of people will come and grab something, make themselves a plate, and take it up to their room. you know, especially some of our business people, if they have work to do.
Right.
And they could sit
at
the kitchen table in their room and do their work and eat their dinner at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You have this free Wi-Fi, isn't there?
There is free Wi-Fi throughout the building.
Okay, so you could do that. And I think there were like a couple of booths kind of thing I saw.
We have two booth areas in our lobby. Both areas have their own private TVs in the area, and they're kind of just like little private social areas where either a family or a group of friends could kind of sit in a corner by themselves in the booth and relax and socialize with each other.
Yeah, I saw like some guys there, you know, business, doing some business there. That's a good spot to, you know, you pull out your computers and, you know, and deal with some of the business while you're having breakfast, and then you get out of there and leave, you know, and do what you need to do. That's pretty good to be able to do that, you know. And also, for those of you, if you don't feel like schlepping your computer and need to know what your email, you have the business center, and you can... You don't have to pay to go on and get your email.
You're right. We have our home office located in our lobby. We have two computer workstations that are complimentary for our guests to use. They're also hooked up to a printer, which is complimentary for our guests to use. And Merle, they're also hooked up where you could actually, from your laptop, go online and print to our printer in the business center on your own laptop through
really?
The internet, and that's complimentary also.
Well, that's really great. I didn't take advantage of that in terms of printing out, because I thought to myself, I've been to one place where I said, you know, why don't I print out my email so I have them in front of me so I don't have to keep looking, and I did that at one place. But I didn't think about doing it this time. But it was okay. That's, you know, or printing out directions to some place that I'm going to. You could do that as well.
Yep,
you don't
you
have a
print
GPS.
Out your directions.
Yeah, in case your GPS isn't working or you don't have one.
Yep.
or you can't find it. I don't think Lori told you what happened regarding her GPS.
What happened to her GPS?
Well, actually... She thought something happened. We got out of one. We were in Ashland. Ashland, is that it?
Ashland, yep.
Yeah, Ashland, yes.
I see that.
And,
you were a pioneer coal mine.
Yeah, so what happened, we had lunch there, And she leaves, and she looks in, you know, dealing with her GPS, and I guess it didn't go on or something. And she's now going crazy because she thought that the chip fell out of there. And she's looking all around for this chip. I mean, we spent, I'm sure, a good half an hour trying to find, tracing it, to find this chip. And now she's going crazy because now we have to make phone calls to find out how to get to one of the places, and then couldn't find that. It was just going on and on and on and on. We had to skip a place. And it finally, then she goes back and she tries a different, it wasn't a GPS. I forgot what she tried, a different, actually it turned out it had something to do with the battery or something like that. There was no chip. There was no chip at all. Chip didn't fall out because there's none that goes in there. yes.
The only way you found your way from Ashland to Reading.
Yes, that's what counts, is that we got there. So, what, when you, like, I have a question for you, because I see that one of the things that they're pushing, which I thought was interesting as to why, they're pushing the whole LGBT agenda, meaning asking people to be on, I guess there's a list that they have.
Yes, they do.
And
yep.
What?
We are a participant on that list.
Okay, and what made you decide that you wanted to participate?
Well, Merle, I think it's just a matter of humanity, equal access for everybody. We don't want to discount anybody. We want to be welcoming to everybody who wants to stay here with us, and we want to promote that, and we want to have that word spread and get out there. We do not exclude anybody from being welcome at our property.
Well, what was interesting, because what I had found, I remember Philadelphia started doing this a while back, that you would go on their website, and they were really pushing a whole, they had a whole brochure and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, the next one that was doing it, which I thought was hysterical, was Lancaster County. And I'm going, what? The home of the Amish? And they're pushing it. And I went, okay, well, this will be interesting to go, you know, and I went out there to see some of the places, or see, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then when this was happening, I was asking, why is Reading getting on the bandwagon as well? Because I was thinking, well, with the issue of same-sex marriages going through, why do you need to do that? Until I found out that the Pennsylvania law doesn't give you something that you can't discriminate regarding sexual preference. They can discriminate.
Well, we would here, we here at the Homewood Suites would never think of discriminating against anyone.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
we want everyone to feel at home.
Sure. Well, that's why, what I'm saying is, why they're doing this is because, and Pittsburgh, I think, does that too. That's because there is a particular reason for pushing it, so everybody can feel welcome.
Yeah.
Everybody can feel welcome despite that the law doesn't say so. That was what I thought was interesting, as to, you know, why they're doing that, as opposed to you know, places, and there's other places, by the way, there's a lot of other places you can get free listings, by the way. I'll tell you about that another time.
All the in stuff. And you know, Merle, I think little by little the laws are catching up.
Yeah.
Also, it's just a matter of time.
I know. I mean, it's like, that's, come on. It's like, that's the last thing that we all need to worry about, really. It's like,
it is the last thing we need to worry about.
On a list of problems.
Yeah.
You really need to look. You need to get a life if you think that's an issue. I really, you know, like, well, you're not looking around to see what the issues really are.
I agree with you.
The hula hoo should not be an issue, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of who hates who going on.
It shouldn't even be on the list.
Yeah. But anyway, what I also said, oh, the other thing I thought that was, that I also wanted to comment on, because I've gone to places like this where you're coming in there and there's no bellhop, you know, and what happens is you're pretty much on your own to get a rack, you know, get your own rack and do your own stuff, which is not a bad thing, you know. However, if you need some assistance, somebody will do that. That's what
yes,
I thought.
Yes, we are more than happy to help if anybody who needs assistance. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I found. I was very pleased to see that was happening. So, and is there anything else we missed about your place that you want to throw in?
Well, Merle, the only thing I'd like to say is you know, when it comes to staying at a hotel, there are lots of nice hotels out there to stay at. But what makes a difference is the people who work at the hotel.
Like you said,
they're willing to help. The folks we have working for us here, that's their mission in life is to service the guests that come and stay with us, and they take great pleasure in doing it, and that's what separates us from all the rest of the hotels around us is the coworkers that we have here who really care about how we treat our guests.
Okay. Oh, the other thing I wanted to throw in, because I just remembered about trying to figure out the bed. The thing that's thrown on the bed is a comforter, and it's not because it looks like one of those things that you put on top of the mattress and then you put the sheet over. But it's not.
It
it's
is
a comforter.
A duvet.
Yeah.
Yep, it's not. It is a duvet with a blanket insert. And that's standard in any Homewood Suites across the country. That's our new Homewood Suites bedding package. We the old comforter days where the comforter used to match the drapes and
yeah,
you know, those days are gone.
Yeah. Well, I want some comment on this because I have to get this on there. Is that I was told that when they change the bedding, everything goes off and goes into the washing machine, because people, they're always told, like, okay, as soon as you get to a place, take off the top thing there and put it someplace, because you don't know who was there last.
That you're absolutely correct, Merle. We wash every piece of bedding for every new guest. You don't ever get into a bed in our hotel with a duvet that was used by somebody else. They all get stripped and they all go through the laundry.
Even the thing that's on the top?
Even the thing that's on the top. Every piece of the bedding.
Okay. Yeah, now that we said that, I got to go back into my blog and put that in so that when I get to the article that I'm writing, because I haven't got to your articles yet, to put that into that so people will know that.
Yep, the whole bedding package is washed for every new guest that arrives.
And is this all of the Homewood Suites do this?
All of the Homewood Suites do that, yeah.
Do all of the Hiltons do this, or just the Homewood Suites?
All
yeah.
All the Hilton brands now do that, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna push that. As a matter of fact, what I'm gonna do, I may make a thing of traveling through, through Homewood Suites, through Hilton's, and that this is this way, we can to recommend that, and it'll be interesting. The next place I'm going to, I don't know if it's a Hilton. I'm going to a place in Tarrytown, New York. And I have to take a look. I don't remember if it's Hilton. But if it's not a Hilton, it'll be interesting to compare to see what the story is.
See what the differences are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But you can find a Hilton almost everywhere, Merle.
Oh, I'm going to go. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back into the chickens blog and have them comment about that. That they had no problem having their new little baby hang out on that because she wouldn't get any germs.
She wouldn't get any germs. That's right. It was cleaned and prepared just for them.
Okay. All right. All right. I appreciate your calling in and sharing all the information so we can get all this out there. And I'm glad I did because now I'm going, oh, yeah, that's another thing I wanted to say. It's like I was forgetting, like I'm saying, I didn't write enough. There's something else I wanted to put in there. But now I know. Okay, good. Okay, great. Okay, thanks, Jim. And I'm ready for the another guest who I got. Oh, Goggleworks is the next person, next guest that I got.
So, all right, Merle. Well, thanks for having us, and thanks for coming to see us.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye,
you
both of you.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, now before we get to Goggleworks, you got to have, go.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
All right, so now the company is now really getting annoying with me because now they came up with these chocolate chip cookies. And they said, Merle, try the chocolate chip cookie. And I went, OMG. It was like the chocolate chip cookies, like when you went to school and they had that packaged chocolate chip cookies. It is that consistency, but definitely much healthier. There's no additives and all that kind of stuff, and more chocolate chips. And I'll have to find out. I'm going to have the chickens check it out for me. But you can get this at www.brownies.com. So now let's now go into talking about Goggleworks versus Googleworks. Nova, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Merle?
Good. So, all right. Describe when you're coming there, what is it that you're looking at? What is that?
Okay, so we have an old goggle factory. Wilson Safety Products has been converted into a community arts and living working spaces for artists, community arts center, and it's basically a city block. We have a main building with 4-5 stories and then a series of outer buildings that house our teaching studios for artists. So we also have gallery space, a film theater that we show art films daily, and also support some creative economy local businesses on our fourth and fifth floor. So
in other words, I guess because I didn't really get into this with Lori, so what she was seeing, the buildings that are on the outside, so when people want to come and watch someone at work or being a part of a class, is that the spaces, or is it in other places that you have the classes as well?
We do have a lot of classroom space up on the second and third floor.
Okay.
And then, like I said, we have those teaching studios, our ceramics studio, woodworking, glass blowing hot shop. We have a fused glass studio and a metal smithing studio. So we run classes in there pretty much on a semester term basis, but we also do short-term workshops and little pop-ins. We call them night outs, so you can come pay a certain fee and then, make some ceramics, but just for the evening.
Okay. Now, but if you're coming there, I'm just like, I'm just popping over there. But is there, I never know, is there a charge to come into the place?
Nope. We're free and open to the public. The only thing we charge for is the movies, which are $9 a person, a little cheaper than your big Cineplexes. And, and then, for the workshops and things, we charge for that.
Okay.
But it's free to walk
around. In other words,
around.
Am I getting then it's like, because this is kind of what I was, it's kind of like a, if you, you could pop in on people working at their studios?
Sure, yep. So we have 35 juried in artists who work in the building. And it varies between from artist to artist, but the minimum amount they're supposed to be here is 20 hours a week. So at any point in time in the day, you'll find them working in their studios, and you can, walk around, go in and talk to them. They're happy to talk to visitors. And then you can also just sit in our hot shop and watch them blow glass. We have a lot of renters who come in and do large-scale production work, so there's usually someone always in there, and you're free to sit there and watch them. Or just hang out in the cafe and have a snack.
Right.
We also have a cafe.
Because I know you have a gift shop. And
yep.
I was kind of wondering then if could people, let's say you're in one of the artists' studios, can you buy something while you're there?
Yeah, some of the artists do sell their work out of their studios, actually. And then you have mentioned the store. We do have a store that carries a lot of the artists' work, especially ceramics and glass. And it also carries a number of other consignment. I think it represents about 200 national artists. So we carry Goggleworks artist stuff as well as other artists from around the country.
So in the gift shop, it's all things that are on consignment versus, are there any things that souvenir kind of stuff, or is it all, everything is from an artist?
Well, we have some souvenirs, but I think, but all of the stuff that we sell in there is handmade gifts, so you wouldn't find any production, large-scale production things. A lot of our stuff, whether it be, gift cards or thank you notes or little stationery packs, all of the things that we offer for sale are handmade.
Oh, okay.
Usually, most of them are one of a kind as well.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So what are typical things that people, what things do people tend to take classes on that they,
we offer we offer basically introductory courses in all mediums. Our ceramics is probably the most popular, and then second would be glass blowing. But we do offer photography. We also have a dark room and a photography studio in the building. And like I said, jewelry, metalsmithing. And so you could take an introductory course, and we offer advanced courses and a couple variety of special topic workshops. So if you're interested in one aspect of ceramics, say slip casting or, you know, hand building, sculpture, figure sculpture, we offer those types of classes. And then we also offer teen workshops and also kids classes, usually running on Saturdays.
So there's you could either like go to a class where you're just sitting there. It's not a hands-on class, but just to sit there and watch. You know, like, oh, I'm interested in glass blowing, so I'm going to sit here and watch. You know, go to this class to see what it's like, but not necessarily.
Well, I think all of our classes are definitely hands-on.
If you'd
like to sit in and watch, like I said, you can come in and observe artists at work.
Okay.
You know, during the day, but all of our classes are hands-on and meant to be hands-on, so you can get in touch with the medium and make what you can.
Because the artists are in their studio. And I don't know what the flow of people coming in and, you know, just to see the what the work is. But the artists, I guess, are they used to, like, having people, like, ask them questions about what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the artists kind of, like, would like to close the door
and say,
you know, just let me do my work, please.
Well, I'm sure they probably feel that way sometimes, but it is meant to, I mean, we're sort of set up that way so that it's really meant for the community to come in and speak to artists. So everybody that's here welcomes that opportunity. And then we also do a program every second Sunday. We call it Second Sunday's Open House, where all the artists are here. And we invite the public to come in, and that's free to attend. And again, you can walk around the building, but that really is the time where all the artists should be in their studios. And the purpose of that is so that the public can come, talk to them, see what they're working on now, perhaps buy something or do some commissions. But that's how we're set up. We want people to engage.
Now, in terms of the artists and their feedback, have they, you know, been happy because, like, not only is this a place for them to do their work, but it's selling it. And it could be easier, maybe easier than just, you know, go to my website and buy it kind of
thing. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the artists, since I've been here and talking to them, I think what they enjoy the most out of the way that this is set up is the camaraderie and the collaboration that happens between artists. You know, there's a lot of different mediums going on, and they have a lot of different processes, and, they're very collaborative and able to talk to each other, critique each other, So I think they get a lot out of that, just being around other working artists and having the ability.
Do you have, in terms of collaboration, let's say, for instance, somebody who's doing ceramics then collaborates with someone who paints?
Yep, we do that all the time. We just had we just celebrated our 10th anniversary in October. And there was actually a collaborative canvas made. Oh, it's very large. I think 8 or 9 feet by 9 feet. And it was actually a collaboration with over 20 of the artists that work here. So they do get together, and no matter what medium they have, you know, they do projects together. And like I said, I think that's the key. Perk of being at GoggleWorks is that you're surrounded by other individuals who like to collaborate and encourage collaboration.
Are you?
And you can also learn.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of our artists
yes.
take classes here as well. So you might be a painter, but take some ceramics class to learn that medium so they can expand their
practice.
Oh, okay,
so they can learn to paint on their own ceramics.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Do you find like most of the artists are like they're unknown, and this is like an opportunity to get themselves started in the art that they're passionate in?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix. Like I said, they're all juried in, so they have to have a body of work or, trained as an artist, in a fine arts setting or a higher ed setting, or have shown a body of work to be able to receive space here. So, there's a plethora of, some people are recent graduates of college and others have been artists for, 10, 20 years, 30 years, So, again, that's also a great mix. You have younger artists who can talking with older artists on, how have you been doing this for 20 years? And they give pointers to each other and help each other grow in that level.
Right. Like with the one with the elephants. How many elephants can you keep doing?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
Yes. Suzanne Fellows, yes.
I thought that was really interesting with the little elephants there.
Yeah.
But then in terms of the people that are buying art, I mean, they're getting in, they're looking at things and saying, well, this artist may not be known, but I like this piece of art, and it's cheaper now.
Sure, yeah.
Than 10 years from now,
Yeah.
So in terms of buying,
we also have collectors who come in.
It's an opportunity for people to get what they want. Are they getting? I'm just kind of curious, because you have the gift shop. Are people still better off, going to from one studio to the next to really, to get something that they, that they want?
Well, I would say probably the store would be the best place to start, and then I think
they give them ideas,
traveling up, upstairs and seeing the work of the individual artist, you might, I really like this person, and where can I find their stuff? It's either for sale in their studio or on their website or most likely in the store. So,
that's cool. Now, in regards to the movies, what kind of movies do you show?
Primarily art house films, so not your typical films that are playing, like I said, in the Cineplex, documentaries, independent movies. Right now I think we're showing the Steve Jobs documentary, so we try to get movies. Reading has several multiplex cinemas, and we actually have one right across the street from us. So not to compete with them, we show movies that aren't widely distributed. We also offer every Monday night, we offer a film discussion group. So once a new movie is being shown, the first evening there's a film discussion group, and it's led by local film historians and college professors.
How do they go about choosing the movies?
It's Dennis is our film manager, and he primarily is the one who picks the movies, and he's very beloved and well liked and has great taste, I have to say. Our theater is very popular, one of our most popular in the Amity, so I think he does a good job with selection.
So I should get a hold of him to recommend one then, huh?
Yeah, you should. He's a very, he knows a lot of movies.
What happens is I get screeners sent to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I can get this. I don't have to, there are two outlets I get companies that say come to the, you know, the like, they're not previews, but it's before the movie comes out, you know, kind of thing. And you just come and sit there, and you don't really have to rate it. They want you to, you know, to write something about it. But then I found out that I can just say, oh, can you send me a link to a screener? And I can sit in my house and watch the movie.
I think he does that. He does that as well. He'll get a bunch of screeners and then pick what he likes or what he thinks, you know. It's not only him, what he likes, but, you know, what he thinks the local audience would be interested
in. Because I saw one the other day, and then I had the director. I interviewed him on the radio show, and I started in my head thinking, oh, this would be great for this place, you know, kind of thing like that. And I love to network. So my brain is going, you know, I wonder where would be appreciated, you know. But now that I know, like, I'm not going to contact Dennis. I'll have them contact Dennis because I think it's a documentary. I thought this was really interesting. Documentary about when Bette Davis met Mae West.
Oh, wow.
And this is for real. You know, and I thought, well, this has got to be something for film buffs.
Uh-huh,
it's not going to be, you know, you won't get this in a major movie theater kind of thing. You know, so I was, you know, that's why I was just kind of curious as to what kind of movie. So what I'll do is I'll just tell them, you know, to get in. I guess they can call Dennis and then they can give them the information as to how to get it to him or send him the screener. They can do that. But anyway, so that's what what I'm going to be doing, because I like to, I want to come back to Reading and go to some of the places and that I didn't get a chance to. And maybe this time we can actually have me create something.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
You can schedule something or you can audit a class. We also have some stuff coming up. The Reading Film Festival is actually happening, I think, sometime in October, November, and they're screening here as well on our screens. So we're part of that Reading Film Festival.
Is that on the site? If I go on your website?
It should be, but I can. It also has its own website. So
Yeah, because I'd be curious, like, to look to see what movies that they picked to show.
It's coming up November 13th through the 15th. So their website is readingfilm.org, and they're showing here, as I think also across the street in the, there's a Cineplex with the IMAX theater as well.
So when they do that, they do this every year, around this time, the Reading Film Festival?
I believe this is the inaugural year of it.
Oh, okay.
But it's something that they've been trying to put together and finally got it off the ground, and it's sponsored by the Berks Arts Council and Go Greater Reading. So we're pretty excited to be part of that and hosting some of their films.
Wow, you said November 13th to 15th. Okay, no, I'm glad you told me this, because one of the newspapers I write for is in Pennsylvania, the Spanish newspaper. I already sent them, the article, I have an article in October's issue, and now I'm going to have to send them one for November's issue.
Okay.
And with the one for November's issue, I could add that into it.
Sure, yeah.
So people
and
can...
I'll send you the link to the thing so you can see what's playing and how to attend.
Okay, that's excellent.
They're going to... It's going to also have not only screening, but they'll do some panel discussions on with the filmmakers, and should be good. A lot of fun.
That's... That's good. Well, I'm glad we had a chat. Cause more for me to know, to write about.
Yeah.
Just when I think I have it all. Well, if you go to actually the best thing, if you go to my blog site, it's pretty much like, you know, everything I did with the information. And, of course, I can keep changing the blog to edit that, but it's from the blog that I take the information off of that to do my articles, you know. So the more information that I could put up on the blog, you know, the more I can, you know, write about. So, all right, I will definitely add this to the blog and then make sure that
use
that.
Can I email you the link? They're supposed to release the full schedule sometime this month, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, that'll be great.
I'll
make
it out to alert you on that as well.
Yeah, because it'll be interesting to see what's chosen. There's a gay film festival going on, like starting next week, that I just found out about it. But then I looked at the site to see the movies, and it's just as opposed to the LGBT community kind of stuff, I look at the movies as I'm not politically interested in most of the movies. Is that the best way to put it?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be going to the movie if it was playing in a movie theater, kind
sure.
of thing.
Yep.
It wouldn't, yep. regardless of, you know, that I'm part of the LGBT community, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just
sure.
not a movie like, okay, oh, I must see this, or I didn't know about this, or any, you know, that kind of thing. So what I'm interesting, and then, you know, there's a lot of film festivals, you know, that happen. So I'm really curious about, for instance, what would you choose if you're going to Reading, Pennsylvania, and they have these film festivals going on. And, you know, what have they chosen,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, of course, each one will say kind of why, because, you know, this won the Sundance thing, this did this, or, you know, whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's no particular slant.
Not necessarily. I think they're just trying to spotlight. I think they're going to choose some national distributed films, but also spotlight local filmmakers from Reading.
Right.
So
that's what I'm interested in looking to see that they as to what they're doing. So okay. Well, I appreciate that you were calling in, and thanks for
sure,
some more information.
Problem. Great.
And I'll see you hopefully next year.
Okay.
When
right.
I come back to
well,
Reading,
maybe
I'll...
you can, yeah, you'll visit us at the Film Fest, and I'll come and say hi.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Have a great day, and thanks again.
You too. Have
yeah,
a good bye-bye. Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, obviously, since I... well, not obvious. Okay. Since I... did the commercial about the brownies. Oh, God, it makes me like, you know, I'm not drooling, but you know what I mean. And now I'm thirsty from thinking about that I had the brownie, which I did. Actually, I had one today. So what else would you have a brownie but a glass of milk, right?
Hey, Martha. Why do you smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. Do you know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronnie Brook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal, or milk may get past your eyes. But certainly not homogenized. Ronnybrook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronnybrook.com.
OMG on this milk. It's a... What I do is, my apologies to all those people who cannot get the milk. This is a New York East Coast kind of thing. And if you want to get it, if you want it fresh, you're not going to get it in California or in India or wherever you are. So, but what they do, which is really nice, they're, with the places you can get it at, they also sell it at green markets here in New York City. And I'm sure in upstate New York there are places up there as well. You can't get fresher than going to the green market. Yeah, that's like the best, And with that, the cream going to the top, I don't like, it says, you have to shake it. What I do is I open it up and I spoon out the cream from the top. And I just eat it just like that. I don't want to even put it on anything. I don't want to add. I don't want to take away. This is for milk lovers because one of the things that happens with me, I just want to just quickly say, is that as soon as milk starts to go bad, I know that. So, and let's talk about something good, which of course, food. And so, I have Judy Henry on the air now, and we're going to talk about her restaurants. Hey, Judy.
Hello, is this Merrill?
It's Merrill, yes.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Wow, your place was wonderful. I love it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And apparently everyone else does, too. You've got a lot of, it seems to be like the place to go.
Well, I hope so.
You're a busy person.
Very.
So you're the,
I get to wear lots of hats.
Yes. So you're the owner and the executive chef. Is that it?
Yes, ma'am. Well, that's about
ma'am.
10% of the
oh,
job
my.
Description. 10% of the job description you just did there. No, when you own a small business in America today, you do everything. You do it all. So I get to play out in the garden one day. Another day I get to do a little bit of electricity. Another day I might get to do some plumbing. I get to do the marketing and the interviewing and, all the personnel work. And it's, whatever. We had a farm-to-table dinner yesterday, and on Monday I was out in the countryside shopping and bringing in local items for use for our dinner last evening. So
tell me what that is that when people say farm to table, like what did you do? Are you going to different farms and picking things up, or is there like a I guess maybe a cooperative or something there where you can go to one place and get a bunch of things?
Well, it's a little of both, but some of it is just having lived in a community for a long time. You develop a network of local people, local producers, and local growers. So sometimes I can get certain things delivered, but, I mean, in the case of really small producers, you often have to go out and get it yourself. So it's sort of a combination. And you know, what the farm-to-table concept is, that with the particular dinner that we had, is that we tried to source as much of the ingredients locally as possible, and again, trying to be as green as possible, to use things that are sustainable and organic whenever possible, and to put on, you know, like a whole evening event that is centered around, you know, locally produced products. So it's a lot of fun. It's also a lot of hard work, and it's very challenging.
Sure. So just so people understand, we're not talking just vegetables either, right?
No, not at all. No, we had local cheeses, we had local wines, we had a local cidery this year that was involved. We used pastured local organic chicken, and then of course, yes, the fruit and vegetable part. But so it's a lot more than just. Though we always do when we do these dinners, Meryl, we always do have vegan and gluten free options, because again, you know, that's becoming a big part of our culture's needs. So we try to represent a broad, you know, a fairly broad scope, but also not try to do a complete overhaul to our menu for that evening.
So yeah. Are you also able to, because I'm not sure what's in the area, are you also able to get, like, pork and beef as well?
Yes, but now this time we had... We offered a vegetarian vegan option. We had chicken, and we had some beautiful wild-caught striped bass out of Maryland. But yes, I mean, sometimes we do have connections with people who offer pastured organic pork and beef, and we have a local duck farm here, so we've featured their things. I mean, the proteins, of course, are always challenging, and the challenge is that for a restaurant in particular is that, you know, sometimes, especially organic, tends to be rather costly, and to be able to do something that is attractive and affordable for people to be able to come to, you know, which is why I have the greatest respect for restaurants that attempt to provide this kind of a venue, you know, on a daily basis. I can't even begin to imagine how one would be able to do that and still stay in business, quite frankly, because it's a costly venture.
So, so I'm also then curious, it's just a thought. So now, if you're getting things that are you getting things always that are organic, or some are non-organic?
No, not everything. Not everything that we had was organic. No, but it was all. It was all local for sure, and it was all, you know, from sustainable agricultural operations. And we try as much as possible, you know, to use the small family-owned farms as opposed to buying from large, you know, large agricultural consortiums. Yeah.
So do you, I mean, I guess, like, just, you know, because you're dealing with kitchen, do they... You know, do you make it a point to make sure that things are washed thoroughly in terms of, you know, well, we know there's insecticides. Let's try to, you know, wash it as thoroughly as possible so it's, you know, not part of the meal. I mean,
right.
You know.
Right. Well, I mean that's always a part of daily kitchen activity is getting washing things.
Because we don't know.
Especially things that aren't going to be cooked. It's most particularly important when you're dealing with raw foods. So now we don't do, I mean, other than salads, we're certainly not a raw food eatery. There's not a lot of call for that kind of a diet in this part of the country. But, yeah, so. No, so what we of course do in a scenario like this is we're focusing in on all of the, you know, the wonderful seasonal things that are currently available locally. which is the other part of the challenge. Now we're coming into the time of year when we will no longer do this. We typically try to do one of these farm to table events on a monthly basis, beginning in about June or July, and going through October is typically the latest time that we do this, because we're coming to the end of locally harvested things.
Yeah, that's a shame, huh? That's why I
yes.
start wondering when
oh,
I when
yes.
It's like suddenly
so,
you can when the tomatoes yeah. are out of season, it's like, where am I getting these tomatoes from? I don't know that I really want to buy them because I don't know where they're coming from, and I especially particularly maybe in particular, I don't particularly like fruit and vegetables that have come from another country because their standards may not be the same.
Well, and more
yeah,
disturbing than that
me.
Is that the flavor, for me, the flavor profile just isn't there. So personally, I could care less about eating tomatoes in the dead of winter, and I just typically don't even bother with them.
Yeah, okay.
So, as far as I'm concerned, the tomato eating season is now over. The door is closed.
Yeah.
So sometimes these small little grape tomatoes that we get throughout the winter do have a fairly robust flavor profile. It's certainly not a part of our focus here in the restaurant when it comes to late fall and winter.
Yeah.
My preference would be if they're hard and crunchy and they're the color of a tangerine, and that's supposed to be a tomato, then I'd rather not have them on my menu. And I certainly prefer, personally, not to eat them. So, you know, it's easy to get passionate and creative when food is, you know, when ingredients are at their peak and in their prime. It's very hard to get excited for me about a cardboard tomato.
Yeah. I understand what you mean. So what I would like to do is go through and talk about what I ate, and I'll try. I have a napkin with me, by the way, because I tend to drool after. Anyway, and by the way, I was just playing a. One of the commercials, I get to a point, like I'll say to somebody, oh, I like this product, so can you send me a commercial? And they say, well, I don't know if we, and I'll just say, forget about it, I'll write it myself. So what happened is, and you'll appreciate this, I had found, are you a milk drinker or you don't care?
No, I don't care, no.
Okay.
I am not.
Okay,
but
I
heard you talking about it earlier.
Oh, so you heard the commercial?
Well, I heard very briefly while I was on hold. I heard you talking about milk.
Yeah, that's what it is. What it is in terms of my taste buds, and it's like I don't know what they're doing with milk lately. And it's like there's a taste in there that I don't particularly like. It's like when you have water. When I have a glass of water, I don't want to taste anything. It shouldn't have any taste. It should just be this liquid going into my body with no taste. You know what I'm saying? Which
right.
is difficult to find that. The same thing with milk. I want to taste milk and nothing else. I don't want an aftertaste and so on and so forth. And it's like even if I have milk that's organic, I'm still like, all right, there's a little tiny bit and it's less, you know, than I have to, whatever. But this particular thing where you have the milk where it's not homogenized. And I had mm-hmm. noticed not only don't I have any kind of weird taste, aftertaste, but it seems to last longer in terms of taste-wise than if I have any regular milk. Like I don't, it's like a week later, a week and a half can go by, and I'll say, oh, I hope it's still good. And I'm going, it still tastes as good as I had it on the first time. So what it is, and people tend to now use their products, you know, in cooking. Restaurants are using their products that they come up with, you know, like, yeah, which you may want to, I wish you could get, because it's like this is, cinnamon butter that you could spread on toast. Anyway, so let's get to your food.
All right. Let's talk about your experience at Judy's on Cherry.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Here we go. So we're going to talk about what we ate. Okay. Here we are. All right. So we started. Oh, yes. So the kitchen, that open kitchen, that's it? That's the whole kitchen?
No. Well, that's where we finish all the food and do all of the, I'll call it the primary cooking. But we do have a big pre-prep kitchen on the first level of the restaurant, which you did not see. But every entree that you tasted, all the hot appetizers that you had, the focaccia bread that you had, all of that food was made in that kitchen. Anything that was baked, roasted, sautéed, which is pretty basically the only things that we can do in that small cook space.
Sure.
All of that food is prepared there. All of the peeling, chopping, dicing, you know, all the behind-the-scenes things, the sauce, the basic sauces, bases, and things like that, our soups, all of those things are prepared in a larger kitchen on the lower level of the restaurant.
Oh, okay. And
yeah.
Since I know that there was a set of stairs.
That's the way all the food comes up those stairs on big trays.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Carried by very strong young men. And then we're very fortunate. We never have to carry it down again because our guests take it along home with them. So at least it's only a one-way operation, Mary.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. All right, so let's go into the food. Let's see. We started off, I said the bill of fare, you call it Mediterranean-inspired. Is that the best way of saying it?
Right, pretty much. Okay. I think that kind of fits the bill.
Okay. So I thought, first I thought the focaccia bread was interesting in terms of it doesn't look like your normal focaccia bread.
Well, we stretch ours out to be rather thin compared to what you would buy, like, in a supermarket or at a grocery store. I mean, usually when you get it commercially, it's quite thick and sort of heavy and doughy. But, I mean, we feel that since people are eating it as a prelude to dinner, they don't want something that's going to be... Listen, our customers complain that they eat too much of that bread anyway. They're always leaving and telling me, oh, I'm so full. I say to them, well, how much of our bread did you eat? Oh, well, way too much. We know that. So, you know, on our part, we try. But if guests don't have any self-control with the bread, then that's out of our control. But anyway, no, I know. It's not as thick and doughy as it normally is or as people use it to make sandwiches and things. It's typically, you know, it's usually about an inch and a half or so thick, and we just don't make it like that. We stretch it out nice and thin so that it's a little bit pillowy. It looks it's more like a flatbread.
Are there herbs baked into it?
Yes, we use fresh rosemary in it. Yeah, rosemary and olive oil. It's a very simple recipe. We use that same dough when we make our pizzas. So it has a dual function for us here in the restaurant.
I'll have to add I'll have to write something funny. I'll say rosemary and olive oil are baked into it. I don't know how they feel about it, though. Rosemary and olive oil is from Popeye and Rose. Okay. Anyway. All right. So now we'll go to the appetizers. Roasted Italian sweet peppers, fresh figs, and prosciutto.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, there wasn't anything I didn't enjoy. So,
well, that's an original creation of mine. The sweet Italian peppers we buy locally from. In fact, just this past week, Meryl, we got the last bushel from my farmer. He said, "Judy, I cleaned out the fields for you. This is going to be the last bushel that you're going to have for this season." So, So we seed them and have them and lightly pre-roast them, and then when you order them, then we fill them with a little bit of grated Fontina cheese and some very papery thin strips of prosciutto ham and roast them in our in our big Hearthstone oven, and then they're finished. Of course, you had this the fresh figs, and then a fig gastrique is the sauce that goes over the top of that. Yeah, yummy,
oh,
huh? It's just a really interesting combination of sort of tangy, sweet, savory, a lot of different things going on in that dish. It's one of my favorite kinds of combinations of things, which is very, you know, that's very Mediterranean, that flavor profile of getting something that's sort of salty, sweet, tangy, you know, all of those kinds of things going on at one time is a very Mediterranean profile.
It's interesting because I went to Anthony's Trattoria, and
yeah,
they had some, and they used fresh figs too. And I'm, you know, and I just realized this now. Well, isn't that interesting? Right, you were there when I, and I didn't realize you were there. You
oh, that's
there
right.
The
yes, I did run into you there. That's one of my standard places in the community to eat. Yes, yes. And not only because their food is delicious, but because they are open the days that I am closed.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you a question. In regards to the fresh figs, if I'm buying fresh figs, is there a particular, they come in different types or something? Or
yeah, there are probably only two varieties that I know of that you find here in America. Most of the time, they're coming from California, but we have a very... if you live somewhere where there are Italian communities, sometimes you are lucky enough on the East Coast to get some local ones. But I mean, typically families who grow figs in their, you know, who grow them here in the East, just have a couple of trees in their backyard, and you really almost have to know someone who's getting more than they and their family can use for their personal consumption to get local.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go after that.
It, late August through the end of September is about the only time you find them around locally. And as I say, they're not, I mean, they're really not considered to be hardy enough to thrive in the climate zone that we live in here in southeastern Pennsylvania. So some years they bear fruit and do rather well, and other years they can produce next to nothing. So it's kind of hit or miss with local figs. And I will tell you that the figs that you had when you were here were not local, but we did get some that were quite good this year from California.
They were really good.
Yeah. Well, being ripe is, you know, they almost need to be, they need to be tree ripened. They're not one of those fruits that do very well if they're, if they're picked green and you try to let them ripen.
Yeah,
So it's very difficult to get them, to find them shipped. And when you do, they're very expensive because they're so easily damaged. They're extremely fragile once they're ripe. But anyway,
okay,
when you do get them, they're a wonderful treat.
Yeah. Next, butternut squash soup with crab and curry. Now, is butternut squash soup something that is, you know, because it's like now it's because it's October or September kind of thing, or is that something that people
eat year-round?
Well, they are
in season now. I guess probably many places in the country, anywhere that has the same sort of temperate climate that we have here in, you know, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, they're in plentitude in the fall. However, we do keep that soup on our menu year-round just because inadvertently it became known as our signature soup, and we found that our guests came here looking for it year-round, and if we didn't have it available, they were very disappointed. So in wintertime, we do resort to shipped-in things. Sometimes we use a large squash known as calabaza that comes out of Central and South America and Mexico. Other times we are able to, when we're able to use the butternut, we do because the sugar content in those is a lot higher than many of the other pumpkins and so we don't need to really add any sugar. But with some of the other South American pumpkins, they tend to be more savory than sweet, and then we add a little bit of brown sugar. But that that soup has sort of become our flagship.
Okay. I happen to
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, well, I couldn't enjoy it too much, of course. I didn't realize that there's cumin in it, which kind of annoys my tummy.
Okay,
so,
well, some people...
But
right,
I did
some,
taste it.
Yeah, yeah,
and I said,
very good.
Barring the cumin, this is delicious. You know?
Okay, all right. Well, I understand.
Yeah. Then there was a duck sausage with blueberry chutney and butter grilled cornbread with crispy fried onions and roasted corn. Now, what, like, you made up, did you experiment and say, here's this great duck sausage, what would be a good chutney to have with it?
Do you want me to be totally honest?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never tasted the duck sausage. I've tasted our chutney. I know what it tastes like, and I know our cornbread recipe, and I just decided that all of that thrown together would make a delicious and interesting appetizer. It's funny, but I typically invent food and very infrequently need to taste it. I know that those peppers that we talked about earlier have to be an amazing combination of different flavors, but I've never eaten them.
Okay.
And yet, I invented the dish, and that sausage dish is the same way.
Oh,
now
was...
if I'm making a pot of soup for the first time, or a braised dish, or, you know, I would taste and adjust for salt and seasoning at the end, but oftentimes I simply taste the different components and know that they're correct, like the gastrique that went on those peppers and the chutney, which is an old recipe of mine that we used. And, you know, so I might taste the various components, but for me to sit down in the restaurant and actually sample a whole dish is kind of unusual.
No, that's okay. It works out because it's so typical. It's like, they're a typical combination. And duck is always with cherries. They always duck and you're using another berry.
Right, exactly. So you know that those things work together.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. People with food knowledge know what things work together. Now, it's always interesting to find someone, a very innovative or creative chef, who has a completely different idea about what kinds of things to pair. And I'm always intrigued by that. And sometimes those things work. But, I mean, I'm always happy to come back to some of the classics, the tried and true things, the things that you know have... take them and give them a little twist, a little bit of an interesting turn.
Yeah. By the way, while you were talking, I just grabbed the napkin to wipe the side of my mouth. I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay. Now, here was the killer for me. The diver scallops. I want to emphasize that it's, the diver scallops are, tell them what they mean when you say diver scallops versus just scallops, people understand.
Well,
typically,
obviously, scallops are kind of raked from the bottom of the ocean. And diver scallops have sort of just become known as scallops that are hand-selected. Meaning that they're taken out of very cold water, that they're not soaked in any kind of chemicals, that they're not plumped up in any way. So what you get is a scallop that has a very clean, fresh taste and is very sweet. When you cook them, especially over high heat, because of the sugar content, you get a beautiful caramelization on the crust. And, you know, I don't even know if does our menu call them, whether it calls them diver scallops or not anymore, I don't know. We used to call them Digby scallops because there's a town in New Brunswick, Canada, which was very well known for its scallops, and the name of that town was Digby. So anyway, in my vocabulary, a diver scallop just indicates that it's a very high quality scallop that hasn't been. I mean, some people call them they're typically called dry by seafood purveyors.
Yeah, I was going to say those are called those are what's known as dry scallops, meaning
correct.
They're not sitting in yeah.
They're not, they haven't been soaked
whatever.
Brine. They haven't been chemically treated, or you know, have anything done to sort of put weight on them to kind of heft them up
right.
or plump them up in any way. And then, and typically, then they would also be fall into the category of what would be known as day boat scallops, which means that they are brought in by small producers, and they're on boats. They're taken in from boats that go out just for a day or an overnight only, that they're not harvested deep out at sea and then held and frozen. So, you know, it really is usually indicative of a high-quality single-day catch.
Okay.
So you had those and enjoyed
yes, and
them.
The bad news about it... The pool of onions that it was sitting in, and I'm going,
yeah.
It's like when I have, there were times like I would have like a hamburger, and I don't like raw onions. I like those kind of onions, you know, that they're caramelized onions. And I could throw a whole load on the top of it. And the brain goes, Merle, you got to remember that you're going to react later on. To these onions, so you can't eat a lot of it. And I saw these, and I went, "Oh my God!" I wanted to eat them all. And I said, "You know, this may not be a good idea. I'll have some." It was like, I tasted it and going, "Oh my God! I want more." Oh no, Merle, you can't do that. Don't do that. You know, because they were so delicious. But for those of you who have no problem with that, just God, that was just so enjoyable. And then you had whipped potatoes, and what was the vegetable with that? That's what I forgot. It was a green vegetable. It came with the whipped potatoes.
Well, you're asking me to reach back into ancient history. I don't know what we were using. We've been using a lot of late summer squash, both green and yellow, with medley of red and yellow peppers and a little bit of carrot. That may have been what you had that evening, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, maybe what I'll look at.
Because we've also had some beautiful local green beans that we've been using towards the end of the summer.
I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's because I was thinking myself it was something typical like that. Now, then the last thing, the dessert. So I understand everybody's in the area. People are using Wilbur chocolate. Because it's it's local. Is that what's going on?
I've been using Wilbur chocolate for a long, long time, probably all of my cooking career, because it is local, and I think their chocolate is really delicious and has a very high cocoa butter fat content.
Yes.
Now they make it at all levels. They make a simple, you know, an inexpensive coating chocolate too. But when you buy the higher end. Like the bittersweet, which is primarily the one that we use, I think I find it to be a very sound, high quality chocolate especially for commercial use.
Okay, yeah. I years ago I went and I did a tour and I did tastings and I went, this is a pretty good one. I've been to chocolate shows, you know, so
right.
I tasted a lot of different, you know, from different.
I mean, dollar
purveyors.
For dollar for your value.
Yes,
it's an excellent choice. It really is.
Yeah,
I can't afford to bring an imported chocolate from, you know, from Belgium or France or, the Netherlands. It's just
I understand
it's wonderful it's wonderful that we have such a great chocolatier in the area that we can buy locally from. They're less than 30 miles from where we are. Right. It's a very old family business. They've been around for generations, and I think practically, even if people haven't heard of Wilbur Chocolate, everybody knows what a Wilbur Bud is.
Yes, I was going to say that's the thing that got
them, right?
On the map.
Yep, that's it.
And unfortunately, there's no more tours.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think what I got
I've
is
never been there. I remember as a kid going to the Hershey Chocolate Company up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and they had great tours, and they were real honest-to-God factory tours. But I don't think I don't think most companies do that kind of thing anymore. Where you actually get onto the floor of the plant and you can really see what's going on. But I remember doing all those kinds of things when I was a child.
Yeah,
everything now is kind of simulated and you know, electronic, and you zoom around in some kind of a cart, or and what you see isn't really what's going on.
I have a question, a food question, before I get to what we'll talk about the speckle then. But I have a food question. Let's just say I get something and it's like and I'm getting it, you know, to go. Let's just say I have a container of soup. It's in plastic container soup. I get it to go and I put it in my refrigerator. How long can I keep it in the refrigerator?
Well, that's a loaded question. Was it hot or cold when you put it in? Did you take the lid off it if it was hot and let it cool? And how fresh was it? How many days old was it? Was it, you know, was it a vegetable soup? Was it a seafood soup? Did it have cream in it? I think there's no really easy answer to a question like that.
Okay, let me just throw it out to you.
Because all of those things would be factors in my mind.
Okay, this is just your opinion. A corn chowder fresh in a plastic container. I haven't opened it yet. And they say it's fresh 11 days, at least 11 days. And I'm thinking to myself, and I know there's milk in it. There's a, you know, cream or something.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself.
And you got it cold? And it was,
yes, and I got it cold.
Okay, you got it cold. It wasn't hot. I still wouldn't think of eating it after 5 days.
Okay. That's my opinion is that I think they're full of crap by saying that. Okay,
right.
That's what they're advertising.
I wouldn't eat it after 11 days.
Okay.
And if it's fresh and they didn't put any preservatives in it, I mean, that's the other question. Did someone,
no preservatives.
Are there preservatives? And so, no, I wouldn't trust it after about 5 days.
Okay. I'm just,
and I have a cast iron stomach. I can eat anything.
Yeah.
Any time of the day.
Yeah, that's what's in my head. It's thinking, how could you make this kind of a guarantee?
That sounds like a really long time to me, 11 days. It really does. It sounds like a long time to me.
Yeah, that's my feeling, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen,
anyway,
Meryl, I don't want to be...
Okay, one quick thing.
Can we begin to wrap up? Because I will tell you that the
Witching
Hour is upon me. It is 5:05. It's almost time for Judy to get upstairs and start cooking.
Okay, one quick thing about speckled hen.
Okay, one quick thing about the hen.
Tell us about what one of the things is that if you have disabilities and you can't make it up the stairs, you could eat the speckled hen, which is around the corner, and you own that as well. Am I correct?
Exactly. Correct. Oh. And you can access it from inside the building. So you can walk from one building to the other through a little tunnel on the first floor.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And so can I get the same menu?
Of course you can.
Okay.
Of course you can.
Okay.
So you can go to the speckled hen and you can eat either the food from Judy's on Cherry or the food from the speckled hen. And you notice that our menu down there is quite different. It's a pub-style comfort food.
Yeah.
It goes along with the old restored log cabin and, you know, the whole, we specialize in small craft beers and a very hearty sort of casual fall and winter fare primarily.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get that across because so people, you know, have the have a second choice, or maybe it's, you know, it's too crowded, and you have, well, you could go to the speckled hen. There's some seats there. Do you
have
to do that?
That's right. That often happens.
Okay.
That often happens. Or you could go to the speckled hen and maybe have a glass of wine or a beer and an appetizer, and then come upstairs and enjoy dinner at Judy's on Cherry.
Uh-huh.
Or vice versa. Go back
yes.
down to the speckled hen, sit by the fireplace, put up your feet, have your dessert and coffee there.
Great.
We do a lot of that.
And can people get that on one check? Kind of thing?
No, they would have to open a separate tab downstairs.
Okay, just so
but
I
if,
can...
But if you had your wine in your hand or your beer in your hand, you could take that with you from one restaurant to the other.
Okay, you got that. All right, now
all
I'll
right.
let you go. Yes.
All right, Meryl, thank you for the opportunity to chat with you today about food. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, now I'll go drool some more. Now I'll eat.
All right.
Okay. Well, bye.
Good evening. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yes. All right. Now, of course, I have to, well, it's 5:10 p.m., so that's okay. Do you know where your food is? All right. So I am going to end this thing a little early, because now, first of all, I now have to have a glass of milk. Where's the chicken? Okay. The chickens are taking a nap. Okay. At least they, you know, I'm concerned because I have one cookie left and I don't want them to have it. But who knows, you know, Marilyn might steal that cookie. So anyway, so until next time, have a great day, evening.